Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. This is episode 122. We have, I just checked, over 6,700 downloads of this podcast. I can't believe it. I'm like super excited about this. So thank you everybody for listening. If you do like what this podcast is about, please like and subscribe and also share it with other people. I'm doing this on my own. And I greatly appreciate it when you can share this with more people. All right, let's dive into today's episode. It's about how to help your child in the middle of a meltdown. So you're standing in the kitchen or in the hallway or the car, and your child's losing it, like just losing it. It could be full-on panic attack, anxiety attack. They can't do it. They can't go in. They're worried. They can't make movements. It could also be where they're like, anger, yelling, hitting, screaming, the panic, the refusal. And your brain races. You're like, what do I do now? What tools do I use? I've been taught about breathing. I've been taught about, going to your happy place. I've been taught about this and that. And it's just everything. And then sometimes too, we either freeze when this is happening, we might over-explain, or we say something that we regret. This happens to all of us. If so, then this episode is definitely for you. This episode is not about the post-meltdown reflection. So it's about the actual moment, like in the heat of the moment, in the peak of that curve, when they are melting down, when your child's nervous system is in full threat mode and the words just can't land. Okay. We're going to talk about why, logic, strategies, all these tools people say to bring out, and all this reasoning, it just doesn't work right then and there in that moment. Okay. What your child really needs instead is what we are going to dive into. You're not going to walk away with a checklist. 100%. There's no checklist in this of what to do in this moment. You're going to walk away with a different perspective of what the presence, what it should look like in the moment of those big explosions, and how to meet your child's body before their brain is ready. Okay. And why calming through is actually the most powerful thing that you can do to help them calm down. So, this is one of the steps in CARES where we are helping them in the middle of the moment. Okay, if you haven't listened to the other steps of CARES, my CARES framework, then I highly recommend you go back in the episode because all of those pieces actually start coming together with this one here today. And if you want tools that you can like practice now, that you can start reading and learning the lessons of how to do all of this, really supporting these intense moments, that's exactly what I do cover when I'm working one-on-one with clients and coaching them. When you finally stop trying to quote unquote fix the moment and you start showing up for it differently, then everything begins to shift with your child. Let's take a look at what this actually means. So you want to help. They're in this meltdown. You want to help them. You want to say the right thing. But when they're melting down, their brain, it's not open to words. It's not open to tools. It's not open to logic. We call this like their caveman brain, their monkey brain. It cannot think, it cannot problem solve. They are completely reacting based on what their nervous system is telling them. They are in a threat. They are not coming from a place of logic or where they can take any information into their brain in that moment. So if we think of it like this curve, they're in the top of the curve. That heightened stress system is that very top of that curve. And their nervous system is fully activated. Like they're not misbehaving, they're actually drowning. Whether they're a shark, this clownfish, or the shark that they're like on the prowl, ready to attack, think that they're in a threat, ready to hit, attack, scream, yell, or they're in that clownfish where they're worrying and panicking about everything, fearful of going to do something new that isn't even new. Maybe it's something that they even know they like to do. worrying about everything, or the turtle, it's completely shut down. Your child is in that stress animal state. And if their shark meets your shark, or your clownfish tries to fix their clownfish or their shark, what happens is things escalate more. They escalate instead of calm. So understanding who shows up in the moment in you, your stress animal and theirs, is the first clue to knowing what not to do. That's the first thing. When you are in these moments and you're doing something that's escalating that child, know that that's not what they need right now. So that's actually good information for you to know what not to do in the future. If you want to know more about the stress animals, that is episode 110. So you can go back to that one and listen to it. Now, when I was interviewing Amanda Preston, she gave a great analogy about this curve of your stress. So think of this huge meltdown like that curve. And you've got the very top at the peak. Your child's brain is in full fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode. They're in full shark, clownfish, or turtle, like full on. And eventually they start coming down this curve. So think of this, the curve is like this hill or this line came up, and then it comes back down. Well, when it comes back down, it actually goes below their baseline. And they might look calmer. They might even be breathing or trying to do some of the tools that they have learned to do in those moments. And we think, oh, yay. They've come out of it. Now I can talk with them. Now I can reason with them. Now I can help them out. But this isn't a safe moment yet for them for learning. Okay. They're still in recovery. And if you talk or teach now, it's just going to spike them back up. It's going to spike that back up above baseline and high up, and you're going to get that big freak out again. Okay. So think of trying to talk to them during or after, right after a meltdown, like a computer has crashed and you're resetting it, right? You can still see things moving on the screen when it's booting back up. You can see, you're like, oh, we're almost there. You might even see your home screen and everything. You're starting to push buttons and things are still slow because things are still happening in the background. So when you're rebooting that screen and it's doing everything that it needs to do, it may actually look okay, but everything is still a little bit slower until it's done what it needs to do. And then your speed picks up back again in your computer. That's the same thing with these kids having a meltdown. And if we start pushing too many buttons, opening too many windows, it just slows down even more on our computer and we actually can't get anything done. It's the same with our kids. So think back to the last time that your child had a meltdown. Anxiety, panic, anger, total shutdown where they just turtled in themselves. And when they actually looked calm, when you thought it was over and you tried to explain or you tried to teach, did it help or did it trigger another escalation? Did they get upset or did they start panicking more? What happened? I'd like you to start really starting to pay attention to that in the future. When your child's having a meltdown and when you step in and they escalate, think about, were they ready? Were they still under that baseline? So what does that look like? Like when it looks calm, but isn't always ready, your child might be silent. They might be trying to use tools like breathing. And we think, okay, they're ready now. But as we just said, what you're seeing is that bottom part of that curve, that fragile moment. They're still fragile. It's this fragile moment of stillness. It's not readiness. And I'm putting myself in this category because I sometimes misread this still, even though I know this. We'll say things like, you're okay now. Next time, just use your words. Do you remember what we talked about? Do you remember the tools we talked about? Do you remember things that you can do right now to help yourself? These are all well-meaning, but they are too soon. What the kids hear when we're saying those things is, I'm not safe yet. And now you want me to think? So even like your softest words sometimes can feel like pressure to these kids. And if you're in your stress animal, like if you're in a clownfish, clownfish like to fix things. Clownfish do not like when something hasn't been resolved or something hasn't been fixed yet. So you start offering solutions, trying to reconnect, but they're not back in their baseline yet. So that gets very overwhelming for that child. Like they're feeling the pressure when they're not ready to really even process what you're saying or how to solve it. They're not looking for solutions yet. In the moment or just after, the goal isn't to guide them. It's to stay beside them. So next time, ask yourself, do you need me to say something or just to be here? You can full on ask your kid. And sometimes they might say, no, I want you to talk right now. I want to listen. And sometimes they'll be like, nope, I can't handle it right now. And you'll be able to tell by their reaction when you ask them that question. Your child does not need a strategy right now. They don't need a strategy during the meltdown or right after the meltdown. They cannot handle it right now. They're just trying to get their whole body down to calm. And as much as giving them strategies of breathing or the glitter jar, all of these different tools that you can be doing with them, they are not ready to process or think or do anything. They're not in that brain that can actually focus and produce things. They need actually your nervous system. They need your calmness. They need to be co-regulated with you. It's not what you do in these moments, but how you are, okay? This is such a good analogy. It's when you imagine that your boat is in storming water. So the child's boat, it's in stormy water. You are the dock. Imagine if you're a dock that's drifting. You're then drifting on that stormy water, on the choppy water. You're going up and down, up and down. And they can't even attach to you to give them something to hold on to. But if you're in the shore and you're solidly there, then they can come in and attach to you and give them some more stability, even while they're still rocking from the waves that they're on, so that they can eventually hop out of that boat and onto your calm dock. It's really important to know your stress animal. And it's okay to even say to a kid, I think my shark is here. I need to go and work with my shark and I will be back. Or my clownfish wants to fix everything right now. And I know that's not what you need. So I'm going to go and work with my clownfish right now. Noticing it without acting on it is the absolute first step. And that we go into in episode 110 when we talk about the stress animals. There are tools that you can do in real time to help your child. And this is the thing. Think about what I said. There are tools that you can do to help your child. I'm not saying there are tools that you can get your child to do right now. That is a very different thing. Because your child cannot, in the middle of the meltdown, start bringing out and learning all of these tools. Eventually, over time, when you put all of the steps together, they'll eventually start to be able to do this. And I want to say this goes for you as well. Your stress might be at such a heightened state. You may have had so much stress in your life. You may have had traumas. You may have had things happening so much. You might have had a really tough pregnancy, really tough delivery, really tough first couple of years with that child. There might be work stressors. There might be family stressors. There might be financial stressors. And these all add up on you as well. As a parent as well, as a mom, I know especially, we feel we just need to push, push, push. I mean, I know like sick flat out in bed, but the kids still need you. We push through everything. And so when I'm asking you to do this, to be their calm, you might be like, Andy, I have no freaking clue how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Like, how is this even possible? Because I am constantly in shark or clownfish, or I'm constantly turtling because I am in a constant stress state. So how am I supposed to be able to help my child? And that is very valid. I know I've been there. And it was not fun to just feel like every ounce of me was drained out of me and I had nothing to give my kids. And I would lose it for the smallest little things that they did. I get it and know that I understand exactly what you're going through and what it feels like. And I'm giving you so much compassion right now. I also know you can get out the other side. I help parents with that as well in the support circle. It's not just for the kids, because you as a parent need to be able to help you get into that calm space as well, to help your child as well. So I can give you that support. I can do one-on-ones with you. We can hop in there. Shoot, I used to work with first responders, getting them out of stress states. So we can do it with you, Mala. Like, we can so do this so that you can then be there for your child. We often also tell ourselves all the time that we will wait until our child is okay, and then we'll work on our own crap. The thing is that our child needs us to work on our crap in order to be that support and dock for them, so that they can then hop onto your dock and get rid of their stuff and be able to really support. We're doing it backwards often. So I kind of just went off on a tangent there, but what I was talking about earlier was that when we can get into that state, when we, as the parent, can be there to support that child in the way that that child needs without our clamfish kicking in, without our shark kicking in, the things that we can do to help our child would be sitting silently beside them. Sometimes just sitting. I know with my kids, eventually, after I've sat there long enough, they might put a foot in my lap for a foot massage. And that is huge, because once you can start getting that nervous system from the foot relaxing, it's huge. And we may not have said a word. Some kids, they might need you to just sit beside them and kind of rock or sway a little bit. Humming or playing 70 beats per minute music. Your heart beats at 60 to 70 beats per minute when it's in the resting state. So if you put music on at 60 to 70 beats per minute, you can put everything. You can put country 60 beats per minute. R&B 60 beats per minute. You can go to most genres and just put in 60 beats per minute music and it'll pop up. So that's a good thing to play that the kids don't even know. Offering them a warm drink or a snack, comfort food, signals to them safety. Shifting the environment. You can go outside, go to a new room. You can get their socks off, you know, get their socks and get their feet actually feeling the ground under them. Using sensory anchors like weighted blankets or fidget toys or water play is tons of fun. Turning on a calming TV show. I'm not a huge screen person. My one son used to really struggle with screens. He's gotten so much better now. That now, if I know he's like trying to come out of a funk and I need to not talk and I'm in a chatty mood, which is often, I will, let's just call it like it is. I might just turn on the TV so that it'll actually stop me from talking. And it'll give him a little bit of a distraction to start calming that while his nervous system calms down. And then once it's done, if I make clear to him, why don't we turn on for one show and then we will turn it off after? I need to make those boundaries clear. And I might just turn something on. I might stop and do breathing myself. And once I start breathing and regulating, then that helps regulate them. So you're not trying to calm them down. You're trying to create conditions for their body to calm through in that moment. Some things that you can start saying to yourself in the moment is, I don't need to fix this right now. My job is to be the calm that they can return to. My job is to be that dock that they can anchor on and step onto safely. You can also say, I'm here and that's enough. Some things that are really important to keep in mind is, some kids may not want touch. My one son's love language is touch. And when he is upset, when he's angry, when his nervous system is totally firing, he does not want to be touched. Some kids as well won't respond to music or movement. They may need it every absolutely still and quiet is what they might need, which means for you, when they're in that moment, it could be turning off the music, turning off anything that has sound around. They might need absolute quiet. And I'm just reminding you right now too, that sometimes your presence alone is the tool that they need. This is hard. It's so hard when you are in public, especially, and your child is melting down. They may be yelling at you, hitting at you, crying, and you're doing nothing that others would recognize as discipline. You might feel parents staring at you, the judgment. You might be judging yourself because this isn't how I was parented. I'm being too soft on this kid. I'm, you know, letting them away with things. I'm going to let them, they're going to figure out this behavior is okay to do. The pressure to do something, quote unquote, normal or how it's always been done. I've been there. I've been on both sides. Before I had a child like this, I used to judge. I used to see kids melting down and I used to be like, why isn't that parent like making that kid behave well? And now when I see that, I look at a kid and I'm like, the parent is doing the best they can. And I feel sorry for that parent and I know exactly what they're feeling. And I know how hard it is for them in that moment that sometimes I'll actually smile at that parent now and say, you're doing an amazing job. Or I'll say, you are an amazing parent. And that's it. And walk away. For them to see that they're not being judged, it's so hard. We sometimes are our own worst critics as well, especially when every eye is on you because your child is kicking up such a storm when you're out. It takes courage to parent this way. It takes practice and it takes time. Your child as well. So this is accumulative. In order to get your child to eventually calm quicker and easier in these moments, you have to go through what we have been doing earlier. So in these podcast episodes, I've been going through CARES. So this is like the framework that I use. The steps in order to help your child is understanding that their behaviors is a stress response, not defiance. Learning yours and your child's stress animals and how to support both you and your child. Becoming that calm presence or that, you know, that calm dock that they can anchor on and return to. Then it's knowing how to support them in the moment and what to start teaching outside of the moment. And once you can do those things, then you start getting to the root cause so that they're not always flipping into that threat mode. So there's a lot of pieces to this that have to happen. I gave you one piece today. Lots of the other episodes give you other pieces. But all of these pieces have to come together before their stress system can relax and outbursts can decrease. So it's not like this is going to happen quickly. It takes time and patience. And it's really, really important for you as a parent to notice the strides that they're making. You can be like, wow, they didn't slam that door as hard. They didn't stomp up the stairs as hard and slam the door when they got into their room. They yelled at me, but they didn't yell as meanly to me or as long at me now. Like, we need to start acknowledging these changes as the child is making them instead of only expecting like that end goal of them not having any more outbursts. It's not possible. I mean, us as parents, we have moments. I have moments where I like get mad at my kids, which is so funny because like they're so used to it and they're used to the tools now and everything that I did get upset with my child last week when he stopped my other son's egg sandwich. Sausage and egg sandwiches with a pillow, and it was a runny egg sandwich that went everywhere and I kind of lost it. And afterwards he went, Mom, I know you didn't mean what you said. You were just very stressed. And I was like, oh my God, like he so gets this. But this has been years and years and years of teaching the kids, of giving them the tools, of saying those things to them as well. This is not a quick thing to support your child with and help them get through in the moment, but I know you have it. Okay. Today we focused on that one piece, what to do in the moment, which is so not easy, but it gets easier as all the other steps fall into place. So this is the work that I do every day with my one-on-one clients. If you're ready to help build that muscle and stay present during that storm to become that dock and to make sense of what your child's behavior is actually telling you, the links are in the show notes to book a call with me if you want to talk with me about working with me one-on-one. You are already doing the hardest part. You're showing up differently. You're listening to podcasts like this, and that matters more than you may know. Sending you the hugest hug. I know this isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, first-hand experience. And I just know you've got this. You're strong, you're amazing, you're capable, and you're not alone in this anymore. I will see you in the next episode. If you did like this episode, please like and subscribe it and share it with somebody else that you feel may benefit. I'd greatly appreciate it. The more that people can listen to this, the more that we can help other parents just like us.